Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Matic. You guys can find me on Twitter at Davis Matic. This is our waiver wire show, comes down every Tuesday to help you guys out with your Tuesday night waivers and your high stakes waivers that take place on Wednesday night. I don't actually know why the high stakes waivers take place on Wednesday and regular leagues go on Tuesday. I would think that, Yahoo and ESPN leagues should make the normal waiver wire day on Wednesday. It allows us to get more information, allows us to get a day of practices, but nevertheless, we persist. I play in many of those home league style leagues myself. So every week on the show, if this is your first time listening, we go through the high priority, the potential difference maker ads, then the borderline starters, and then some deep league targets and bench stashes. And we actually have two pretty solid names at the top of the list this week. We have Duke Johnson and Kalen Ballage. And basically, if Duke Johnson is out there on your waiver wire, I think that he is probably the best ad that we are going to see for the rest of the season. So whatever you have left, I think you basically need to plan on spending that on Duke Johnson. David Johnson was knocked out of the Texans last game with a concussion, and Duke Johnson then had 20 touches and also scored a goal line touchdown. I've already done projections for this week. Duke Johnson looks like a top 12 running back this week for the Texans. Now, if your waivers are on Wednesday, maybe there's a chance that we get a report on David Johnson and it seems like he is going to be healthy. You know, seems like he has gotten through the protocol maybe a little bit faster than you would have expected. But I am planning on starting Duke Johnson this week in all the leagues where I have him, and I think that he is the top priority ad of the week. However, I think that this second ad maybe has a little bit more upside, and that is Kalen Ballage. Justin Jackson was only able to play three snaps in the Chargers game on Sunday. If he was to miss a little bit of time, I actually think that we will project Kalen Ballage to be the lead running back for the Chargers. Josh Kelly had only 14 touches on Sunday. Troymaine Pope missed week 9 with a concussion, but Pope played ahead of Kelly in week 8. I think everything that we are getting from the Chargers is that they are souring on Josh Kelly compared to their usage from earlier on in the season. Doesn't look like Austin Eckler is going to be back anytime particularly soon. So Kalen Ballage, I think he is a really high priority ad this week. He is a really solid size speed guy. He's 6'2", 228 pounds, ran a 4.46 at the combine. But I think what's even more interesting is that he has been mired in basically some of the worst situations in football when he has been given playing time. So we saw him with the Jets earlier this year. We saw him with the Adam Gase Dolphins in 2018. Then we saw him with the Brian Flores Dolphins last year. But the only time that Ballage got any playing time was when they were terrible, right? Was when Josh Rosen was the quarterback. So I'm not really holding anything against Kalen Ballage at this point that we've seen in his career. And I think he is a super strong ad this week. Both of these guys, I would be comfortable spending large amounts of remaining fab on, pending the results that we're going to get from Justin Jackson's health and pending the results from David Johnson's concussion test. Also, one of the things I think I should have mentioned with Duke Johnson is, you know, there's a chance that Duke Johnson just plays much better than David Johnson. He was good in week 9 and with another, you know, really good performance in week 10. With David Johnson out, I think that we probably will be able to see Duke Johnson earn a larger share of this backfield moving forward. So now moving on to some of the more intermediate style targets, we have Cordarrelle Patterson and Ryan Nall. David Montgomery has also entered into the concussion protocol. And also David Montgomery has been terrible. He leads the NFL in points under expectation in this backfield since week 4. And, you know, without David Montgomery active, they really have not given any other running backs work in the backfield. Like, it's really just been all David Montgomery. It's Patterson and Nall who were there, and then Artavis Pierce. I mean, maybe you could do like a $0 bid on Artavis Pierce. Patterson is not eligible at running back, but I think that he would be the first guy to get a crack at the running back job if, for whatever reason, David Montgomery is not able to play in week 10. After David Montgomery went out, Cordarrelle Patterson had 3 rushing attempts for 13 yards, 4 targets for 4 receptions. And if we look at the snap counts in that game, we see that Cordarrelle Patterson played 17 snaps, 22% total. Ryan Nall played 10 snaps, 13% total. Artavis Pierce got in the game for one offensive snap. It was his first offensive snap of his career. So I would rank them Patterson, Nall, then Pierce. And of course, you guys know, I love Cordarrelle Patterson. And I think that he has at least the ability to be explosive. Like, there's just no explosive ability with Ryan Nall. And Nall is really more of like an H-back style player. You know, he's 240 pounds, kind of looks like a Mike Allstott type. Big throwback there for my Mike Allstott truthers. If anyone remembers him, and if you're young, go up and look Mike Allstott. He was quite a unique guy in the history of the NFL. But personally, I am partial to Patterson here because I think he at least works in a little bit as a pass catcher. But both of them are decent adds this week. Moving on to two Denver Broncos, we have Tim Patrick and KJ Hamler here. I assume that Noah Fant is owned in every league. We saw Albert Okwuegbunam tear his ACL in week 9. But more importantly, we really have just seen Drew Locke get in these game scripts where they just keep chucking the ball, right? 40 pass attempts against Kansas City, 41 pass attempts in the win against the Chargers, 48 pass attempts against the Falcons, 313 passing yards against the Falcons. I don't think Drew Locke is good, and we are going to talk about him a little bit later as well. But I think that this offense looks like such a high volume passing offense at this point that even the secondary guys like Patrick and Hamler need to be owned. You know, we think that Jerry Jeudy and Noah Fant are probably going to, you know, accumulate about 50% of the Broncos targets in any given week. But Tim Patrick has now seen 7+ targets in 3 of his last 4 games, scored twice and gone over 100 yards twice in those games as well. Hamler scored 2 weeks ago. But now Hamler is really playing the slot now, and he saw 10 targets, caught 6 of them for 75 yards against the Falcons. Hamler probably runs like a 4.35 40. He didn't run at the combine because he was banged up. But just anyone who's kind of that electrifying style of athlete, I want to get on my teams. So I prefer Hamler to Patrick as an ad, but I think both of them should probably be rostered in 12-team PPR leagues. The two guys who I think are the most interesting waiver wire ads, though, are Richie James Jr. and Jacoby Myers. Richie James had just this insane game against the Packers, 13 targets, 9 receptions, 184 yards, 1 touchdown on 89% of the team's snaps. It was also reported heading into that game that he himself was banged up, but with all the injuries and COVID-19 contact tracing decimating the 49ers roster, there really was no one else for them to turn to. Now, Brandon Ayuk and Curtis Samuel have already been activated from the COVID IR list, and Ayuk is definitely going to be back this week. However, I think James should leapfrog Kendrick Bourne, and without George Kittle and with Jerick McKinnon, you know, he's fighting a dead leg, I think is the way that Kyle Shanahan put it. I actually think that James is going to keep a pretty solid snap and target share. Now, his targets per route run is probably not going to be great with Ayuk active. However, I think that he will probably play the Brandon Ayuk role, and then Brandon Ayuk is going to play the Deebo Samuel role. So there should be, you know, 5 to 7 targets is kind of going to be the median target projection for James on an average week. And, you know, he looked good to me. Like, I watched some of that game back, and he just looked like a guy who should be owned in 12-team PPR leagues. That's not very scientific, but he looks really strong to me personally. Then Jacoby Myers is the other super fascinating guy because he is just the clear number one wide receiver on the Patriots. He has 6, 10, and 14 targets over the Patriots' last 3 games. In that game against the Jets on Monday night, he had 12 receptions, 169 yards, and no touchdowns. And to me, he looks like a guy you just should not leave out there. Like, he actually maybe should even be in the potential difference-making category because we saw him get on the field early last year, and that's always a big thing for undrafted free agents and rookies in general, is getting on the field as a rookie is a great sign. Now, he's not like a crazy athlete or anything, a 4.6, 340, a breakout age of 20, a 25% dominator rating in college. Like, he mostly looks fine, but I think that the fact that the Patriots just need someone to throw to, right? Ryan Izzo, these guys, Gunnar Olszewski, these guys are really not getting the job done. So there's just such a huge role out there right now for Jacoby Myers. He is probably the best wide receiver ad of the week. Then we have Michael Pittman Jr. I don't need to belabor the point here very much. Rookie wide receivers have just been so good to us this year, and I want to get back on the train with Pittman Jr. His playing time saw a big spike this last week for the Indianapolis Colts. He was up to 89% of the team snaps without T.Y. Hilton and without Jack Doyle on Thursday night. You know, I think that we should see, you know, again, another 80 to 90% snap share, another 6 to 10 targets for Pittman Jr. And Pittman Jr. was a really good college player. Final season, 101 receptions, over 1,200 yards, 11 touchdowns, like just a really solid college player at USC. So I'm really wanting to add Pittman this week. Then a couple decent running back adds here. We have Matt Breida, Salvin Ahmed, and DeAndre Washington are all good dart throws this week because Myles Gaskin is not going to play. It's not going to surprise me if after a really lackluster game, Jordan Howard goes back to being a healthy scratch. Patrick Laird is going to see, you know, work on passing downs, but Malcolm Perry and Lynn Bowden are basically practicing as wide receivers. Malcolm Perry only played wide receiver last week. So one of Breida, Ahmed, or DeAndre Washington should be a startable running back moving forward. Ahmed led the team in rushing this last week, and Tua was actually the team's second leading rusher. Breida, to me, profiles like the difference maker. I've already, you know, kind of fumbled the football around with DeAndre Washington this year already because I really liked him as a handcuff in Kansas City, and that really did not play out. But Breida is dealing with his hamstring injury, so I think he'll go pretty, like, if he's on your waivers, I think he will go sort of under the radar. And he is the dart I most want to throw because he has the athletic profile of someone who can be a difference maker and also get some work in the passing game, which did not happen for any of the Dolphins running backs last week except for Patrick Laird. Then a quick note on Devontae Booker. Booker played only 13 snaps last week, but had 8 rushes on them. And to me, and to, you know, some of the, you know, the Pro Football Focus advanced metrics and stuff, Booker has looked like the better rusher than Josh Jacobs this year. And I just think that Booker now is kind of in that premium tier of handcuff where if something happened to Jacobs, it looks like he is in that Mike Davis, Tony Pollard, Boston Scott tier of, you know, really elite fantasy running backs, right? So where if one injury happens, he ends up being a fantasy starter. Couple deep league targets and bench stashes here. We have Irv Smith Jr. only ran 9 routes against the Lions, played 21 snaps, but I'm not really concerned about the peripherals because we're seeing a huge leap in targets per route run for Irv Smith Jr. Early on in the season, he was kind of mostly blocking and not really being targeted, but he is clearly ahead of Kyle Rudolph. And as Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson's target shares have decreased a little bit, we have seen an increase in Irv Smith Jr.'s. But the most encouraging thing was just that the team was clearly designing red zone plays to go directly to Irv Smith Jr. And, you know, any tight end who just is going to be getting end zone targets has got to be owned because the position has just been so brutal this year. Then we have Jacob Hollister, who out of nowhere had 7 targets, secured 5 of them for 60 yards. And I think it's because Will Disley and Greg Olsen have just been terrible. They're looking for a third guy to take some pressure off of Metcalf and Lockett. You know, the Seahawks have been throwing so much. They just had that horrible game against the Bills. I think that they're going to be much better this week against the Rams. But we just want to have pieces of some of these really explosive passing offenses. And it looks to me like the team at least is wanting Hollister to trend in that direction. Now, this could be a total one-week aberration, so I probably wouldn't do more than like literally like $1. But he saw his season high in snaps, season high in snap share last week against the Bills. And, you know, and maybe we get a report this week on like why that happened or something. That would be nice to get. I'm not exactly sure, of course, but Hollister is a guy definitely that I am interested in adding. And then I wanted to drop a note here on Drew Lock. He ran a little bit last week. He had 7 rushing attempts for 47 yards, scored the rushing touchdown. But just the way that the Broncos are calling these plays, Drew Lock is looking a little Blake Bortlesian from back in 2017. So Lock looks to me like a kind of decent streaming quarterback and is a guy that I would add right now. Then we have Jakeem Grant, who should assume a larger role in the passing game for the Dolphins now. Preston Williams got banged up. The other wide receivers there are guys like Malcolm Perry and Mac Hollins. So, you know, not guys that I think profile. It's like every down wide receivers. And, you know, if you just are working on projections, if you follow projections, it's going to be hard to make Grant, you know, a non-starter this week. And then one other name, Olamide Zaccheaus. We thought that Christian Blake would be the direct backup for Calvin Ridley, but that did not happen, and it was Zacchaeus. If Ridley misses in week 11, the Falcons have their bye week this week. I think that Zacchaeus looks like kind of like just the straight up Falcons third wide receiver. He played 73% of the snaps, had six targets, 103 yards, and a touchdown against the Denver Broncos. He looks, you know, kind of interesting to me. So he is another guy that I think is worth adding. And that should mostly do it this week. I guess if Jordan Reed is still sitting out there on your waiver wire, or if he gets dropped this week, he would be a guy I would look to pick up, because I think he probably wasn't 100% healthy in that Thursday night game against the Packers. And now with, you know, 10 days to rest, looks like he should be back to full health. So everyone, that is the week 10 waiver wire. Hope that was useful. Hope that was helpful. Continued good luck in all of your leagues.